You're listening to the Musical Ecology's Radio Hour. I'm your host, Dan Joseph, and once a month we bring you a mix of conversations and musical selections by artists featured on the Musical Ecology series in Park Slope, Brooklyn. I invite you to visit our website for more information on our artists and upcoming events at musicalecologies.net. For tonight's program, we'll revisit our event on Thursday, April 14th, with the New York-based experimental new music group Ghost Ensemble. Founded in 2012, Ghost Ensemble draws from a wide range of contemporary and historical performance practices that emphasize the primacy of listening and the pursuit of altered states of consciousness. On this evening, the group included Sky McClay on oboe, accordionist Ben Richter, cellist Lester St. Louis, Joshua Morris on contrabass, and guest accordionist and composer Lucia Vitkova. I spoke with all of them together to start the evening, and we'll begin tonight's broadcast with that conversation at the Old Stone House in Park Slope, Brooklyn.
We're very excited to have Ghost Ensemble here, which is, I guess, largely a New York-based group, but from what I understand now, it's a little bit international, shall we say? So let's begin. Let me begin with Ben. Ben Richter, I gather you're more or less the founder, or certainly one of the founding members. Maybe you could help us, tell us about how Ghost Ensemble formed.
Sure. So Sky and Josh and I are all founding members of the group. Lucia and Lester are joining us tonight for the first time. Ghost Ensemble got together, I guess, at the end of 2012, or in the middle of 2012. Our first concert ended up being March of 2013.
Right.
And I don't know, how did I contact you?
Out of the blue. It was amazing because I was just moving to New York and I had nothing lined up. I was moving to New York for love. And then Ben emailed me and said, like, oh, I'm looking for an oboe player. And so that was super exciting to have somebody who wanted to play music with me who I didn't even know. And it was through Ben's friend that he heard that I was moving there and wanted to play with people. So mm-hmm. I guess that's how I got involved. But it was all Ben's sort of brainchild.
Right. And how, well, so when this began here in New York, or
yes.
And how, and so when did you arrive in New York, and how did you get here, and how did Sky get here? And, you
know, so
some background.
Sure. We started right after I moved back to New York from The Hague, where I did a master's degree.
Uh-huh.
And I knew as soon as I got back that I wanted to get together with some people and start playing on a regular basis. I saw Josh perform and talked to him after a performance that he did. Mm-hmm. I had been playing with a harpist before I went to The Hague, Samna Mbuist, who's the former harpist of the group now. We had done some concerts together, so I had met a couple of the musicians through her earlier.
Uh-huh.
And we all got back in touch, and I don't know, we felt like we needed an oboe, and so we sent feelers out for an oboe player, and an amazing oboe player materialized, and the same sort of thing just kept happening. There was always somebody out there who was really sympathetic and wanted to make this kind of music.
So. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this kind of music. What kind of music are we talking about? I mean, I have some idea, but maybe you could describe a little bit about sort of what kind of aesthetic or process or otherwise that this group is maybe coalesced around, if you could.
Sure. It's never easy to pinpoint it.
Right.
But there's definitely something. There's definitely some kind of flavor.
Right.
For me, it has to do with music that I felt like I wasn't hearing enough of.
Mm-hmm.
Probably music that I could listen to all the time and still feel like I didn't hear enough of. But it's I don't know, for me it's music that it excites the subconscious and the intuition and the imagination more than the intellect or the, you know, a kind of academic sense. But that's me personally, and the same exact experience might have a different impact on it.
But you've just, I mean, the group, you've described the group as focusing, well, certainly on listening, which of course is most musicians would be engaged in listening. But in this case, I think listening maybe has a little bit more meaning, or more specific kind of meaning, and I think it does. And I know that the group, it certainly has focused a lot on the repertoire of Pauline Alveros and maybe some of affiliated artists. So that's a certain kind of listening. Deep listening is her term for what she plays. So how does that listening, or your particular concept of listening, how does that inform the work that you undertake?
Well, I mean, yeah, deep listening is like certainly a core concept for us. That's one of the main things that brought us all together, was involvement in the deep listening community and in those pieces and so forth.
Right.
And I think when we have very different music alongside it that still feels similar, it's because the same sort of sonic awareness and receptiveness and a personal connection to the music, mm-hmm. That sort of breaks down the barriers between audience and performer and so forth, it connects both of those, mm-hmm. those musics.
Another word that you've used, or the group has used, is experiential. I don't know if that's... I know these kind of descriptions are always developing, evolving, but how does that... I mean, this kind of echoes a lot of what you're saying now. I mean, sort of breaking down the barriers between the musicians and the audience, and listening, and I guess, you know, maybe different kind of states of consciousness and mm-hmm. experiential. So that seems to be a theme here, I guess, and maybe emanating, in, you know, from Pauline and her experiential work. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of our starting point. Well, so let's broaden a little bit. So Lucia is here also. Now you've contributed a composition, and you're joining the group here, I guess, for the first time. Is that right? So how did you come to be involved with this ghost ensemble?
Well, I know Ben. And Ben asked me, because Ben lives in Berlin now, and I just moved from Berlin here, and he's like, I'm coming in April, you should write a piece. I was like, yeah, mm-hmm. and that's how it happened. And we play more pieces, so I'm a performer as well, I'm an accordion player, so we started to practice some more pieces to put the program together. Today we will hear my piece Visible, which is for accordion with accessories, oboe, and electronics. I had Sky in my mind, and it's kind of spiced by the electronics, mm-hmm. which Ben is playing, so mm-hmm. it's kind of trio.
You said accordion accessories?
With accessories.
And
Oboe.
And electronics, right. Mm-hmm. And accessories in this, well, I guess we'll see what the accessories, but this is a broad category of other sound makers and other accessories.
Yeah, it's like you take accordion and a couple more instruments with you, so you can switch kind of multi-instrument around.
Accessorize.
Yeah.
And is this a premiere tonight?
Or? Yeah, yeah.
So this will be the first performance of Visible.
Uh-huh.
And you said you recently arrived in New York?
Yeah, four months ago. I'm
recent.
Yeah. I'm enrolled at Columbia in the at the composition department.
I see.
So I'm uptown.
And do I, Sky, are you also? Do I gather you're also in the program at Columbia now? Is that right? So
yes.
Both of you in both composition students at Columbia. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Wonderful. So that's recently or. You're just arriving this semester for this?
Yeah, I'm visiting Sklar, so I'm doing my research around here.
I see. Research. Great.
Research.
What, any particular
about American composer Christian Wolff, and I'm also very interested in the social aspects of music in terms of like relationships between people imprinted in the musical score. So Christian Wolff makes this kind of like democratic musical systems, and Emerson Chikhawi does it, and also like puts ensemble here. So we are kind of behave musically. So I'm kind of like observing what we do and trying to fix it with words, or fixate it with words. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think so. I mean. Fix it or describe
it. Describe it with words.
Describe
it,
interpret it. Write about what that experience
uh-huh.
is like. So that's an interesting territory, shall we say. I mean, and I gather that's something that this ensemble is invested in as well. Something beyond just musicians reading at a score, playing it faithfully and convincingly. There's more interaction here. There's more, I guess, more personal, more dimensionality. I guess is that would you say? I mean, I think of Christian Wolff certainly as someone who, I mean, certainly politics comes into play, but also the way that music, the way that the performers interact both with each other and with the particular score that someone like Christian Wolff is presenting, which isn't always traditional, right?
Mm.
So that seems to be an aspect. So tonight, I guess we have maybe a range of approaches, right, to notation and to realizing scores, right?
Definitely.
Right.
So well, let's talk a little bit about the program. So we've covered, you know, we have Visible
mm-hmm.
by Lucia. We have a piece by Pauline Oliveros, who maybe started it all in some sense, or is a foundational figure at the very least. So the piece Pebble Music.
Mm-hmm.
So is this a is this one of the text scores of Pauline?
It is.
Okay. So these are, so Pauline Oliveros has written many pieces that are broadly under the category of text scores, meaning that they're the musical score itself is a written text. A set of instructions or invitations or otherwise. So that seems to be a big, a big starting point, shall we say. So, well, tell me about some of the other pieces. Maybe Joshua, maybe you could get involved here.
Yeah, so the Mark Sabat piece, Zarlino, is looking at some really fascinating pitch, ways of thinking about pitch. The entire piece uses a grand total of 6 notes, but it uses 3 versions of each note. So if you think about the interval of the perfect fifth, while on a piano, we make that slightly out of tune. But what he's doing is he takes it perfectly in tune, but then he'll play another interval perfectly in tune, play another note, and by the time you get back to the first note, it's shifted a little bit. And this piece is all about this idea of shifting, how that shifting takes place, and playing around with that.
Right, I heard a little bit of this piece in the sound check, so it's certainly, well, you mentioned the detuned piano, but it sounded like there were other aspects of the piece that were exploring different kinds of intonation. Not traditional, perfect fifths or otherwise. Does it have a particular indication of sharp quarter tone?
This one is incredibly precise. He says an exact number of cents, a cent being 1/100th of the space between say C and C sharp. Mm-hmm. So we'll say G plus 18 cents or A minus 22 cents.
I see. So that's a challenge, certainly.
Yes.
So that's a big challenge of that piece. But is it otherwise metrically notated and
yes. Yes.
So
conventionally notated, except for this slightly sharp or slightly flat, very precisely notated.
So then that covers the Marc Sabat piece. Marc Sabat is, if I know who this is a Canadian composer and violinist primarily.
Yes.
That's what I imagine when I think of that name. So I didn't know he was also a composer, frankly.
Yeah. He teaches at Berlin. He teaches at Berlin. He was my teacher for a year and a half.
Of composition?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. So he's at Universitat der Künste, Academy of Arts, or University of Arts.
And then we have a piece by Klaus Lang, and now this is a composer, I don't know, who is this, Lester, let's give Lester a vote. Could you want to speak to this piece a little bit, or?
Sure.
Let's change seat.
Sure.
So usually our conversations are more of a one-on-one thing, but tonight it's not.
So we
want to talk about the Klaus Lang piece. It's a duo.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about the piece.
So the piece is called Tarantas, piece for cello and accordion. It's a piece where you have lots of situations of pitches kind of sliding in and out between each other. And there are certain points where harmonies hit between the cello and accordion, but it's really only for a second. I don't really know what else to say to it. It's incredibly beautiful, incredibly slowly paced. But it is one of these things that really encourages that kind of deep listening when you hear the harmony between the cello and accordion lock in, and then it's like, and it's gone. And then it's there again, and then it's gone.
These are glissando or detune notes against one another? Is that the idea, or?
I'm largely glissandoing throughout mm-hmm. the entire piece.
Yeah.
Right.
You would be like detuning my harmony.
Yeah.
My step. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
that's
like
a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Excellent. So, okay. Well, so that's the outline of the program. Well, I guess, what else did I? Well, I wanted to ask just some general questions. So, how did you arrive at the name Ghost Ensemble? And what is that meant to imply? Or not?
I just had it as a fun idea one day, like well before the ensemble actually came together, and didn't really intend to stick with the name, but then people seemed to like it, so we did. I guess, you know, after the fact, what I like about it is that it sort of conjures this idea of the unseen that might be present, the things outside what we expect or what we initially perceived to be there that slowly come into our perception somehow.
So ghost then in this case being sort of the mysteries of the sonic phenomenon that may or may not appear.
Absolutely.
Right. And I've noticed in your photographs, your promotional pictures are very dark. You know, you're all sort of barely visible amidst this darkness, and so I guess that's maybe a metaphor for the music that you're trying to conjure up. Right? Okay, well, let me ask you a little bit more about the pebbles. So this is the Paulina Oliveira's piece, Pebble Music. So it's literal, right? I mean, we're working with pebbles, but I think it would be interesting for the audience to know, to at least have some idea. You don't have to tell us the whole text, but just to get a sense of what these text scores are about and how one goes about making them into music. So what's the gist, shall we say, of pebble music?
Well, there are different ways, she gives you instructions on different ways to play the pebbles, like rubbing, rhythmic tapping, arrhythmic tapping, shaking, dropping, sensual, petting. And then there's a score where each box is a minute and you do all four of the people do the thing that they're supposed to do in each box, but it's different. Everybody's doing different stuff, so it's sort of contrapuntal and then changes to a different like block of sounds.
And one of the wonderful things about so much of Oliveros's text scores is that each ensemble that plays it will come to a different understanding of what does it mean to make a pebble resonate? What does it mean to play a pebble this way? And no person or ensemble is going to end up coming to the same conclusions.
Maybe I would add one thing which I really like about piece that about this piece, because it started already like weeks ago when we started to like look for some pebbles. So like you have this, like you have to like from your everyday life look at the ground, and like it's not easy to find like pebbles in New York City. You have to like really find a spot where and they should have certain size. So yeah, I really like, I went in front of my house and there was this park and I started to like look for them and I started to like try the sounds of them, if they are good or they are like not good and bad, they're just like different sounds. So I was like, okay, I will find this variety, and I started to like knock them and suddenly I discovered like the resonance of the whole street, like Claremont Avenue, like go there because it's so resonant, it has these echoes. And so I started to play on the street already like with the stones. So I think in the piece it's also like this process to looking for the stone and discovering them, and after you bring it on the stage. But the piece already started like so like before, so yeah, we played the score now, but yeah, I wanted to mention like this aspect as well.
Mm. Right, so choosing the right pebbles, or the pebbles, is a part of it for sure. So and the length or the duration or otherwise is also in a piece like that, particularly is kind of open ended, right? I mean,
this piece has a very fixed duration.
It does,
but that's not necessarily how all. That's totally different depending on the text score.
Okay, well, I guess another thing, a theme here in our series here in musical ecologies, I guess I'm always interested in getting people's impressions about, you know, different places. I mean, we're in New York, this is New York City, there's a lot of music, a lot of things going on all the time, but then, for example, I mean, you're living in Berlin now, so I'm always interested to get, like, not necessarily a report, but, you know, an impression or what, you know, what's going on over there, or how is Berlin compared to New York or wherever you came from before that. You know, these are some of the things I'm interested in, just getting off the cuff kind of stuff. So tell me about, you're just visiting now, right? You just arrived this week for a couple of concerts and then you'll go back to Berlin.
Yeah.
So what's that like?
Well, it's interesting. Lucia and I were just talking about this because we've sort of made opposite moves.
Right.
Because she was in Berlin for a while and has come to New York. And for me, I tend to sort of get restless and go to the next place every couple of years. But I think it's really wonderful to experience a different scene and you know, bring back interesting kernels back to a familiar place. And that, I feel like that's what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost Ensemble has actually, every single show we've played has been in New York City.
Right.
Very recently, the Ghost Ensemble harpist Lucius Davros came to Berlin. We played a show together. We might be doing a little bit more outside New York in the future, but you know, it's been absolutely a New York ensemble up until this point.
Right.
I think there's no particular reason for that, other than logistics. Part of what we certainly hoped to do was to open up something, an issue of the New York scene that might not have been entirely oversaturated quite yet.
Right. Well, I think that's true. Yeah. But so you're doing some. So what else are you doing over there? I mean, so you have the harp working with the harpist, but I mean, did you see the ghost ensemble expanding, you know, into Berlin, or are you pursuing other things that are similar or different or not?
Well, I would be thrilled if we'd all go to Berlin. I think you're happy to be here, right?
Yeah. But I'm pop around.
But she just got here. Give it time.
I'd absolutely like to put together Ghost Ensemble events in Berlin. There are some outstanding musicians over there. Mark Sabat is over there. Lucy and I played with Sarah Walrath. We did a show with her also at Spectrum here in New York last year with James Ildenfritz, another bass player who plays with us sometimes.
American composer Catherine Lamb, who is also like here and there.
Mm-hmm.
So the scenes are kind of bland in a way, because everybody goes through Berlin and everybody goes through New York. So if you wait at one place, you meet everybody at some point. I think, because you have this, in Berlin it's very practical because you have this Echtzeit Music webpage when you can see all the concerts for each day listed.
Right.
So you can just see who is in the city. So you can just like see all the people there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there's a lot of overlap, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe somewhat with the Netherlands as well. I don't know where you were before.
And Lucia.
I was there as well. Yeah.
Okay, so we have this program tonight, but you're also doing another program Saturday?
The day after tomorrow, yes.
So that's a little bit more of an expanded group. There's a little more room over there at the firehouse, right? So tell us, just give us a sketch of what that's going to be about.
At Firehouse, we'll have a much bigger ensemble. I think there's 14 of us total, if you count both conductors. We have Carl Bettendorf is doing two pieces with us, and then we're doing a piece by John Rock, which he's going to conduct. It's an entirely different program. We have a piece of Skies, another Pauline Olvero's piece. We're doing our first Stockhausen performance, which should be interesting. And Andrew Smith.
Andrew Christopher Smith.
Andrew Christopher Smith is important, yes. The piece we premiered at Pioneer Works last year, which has been developed a bit further, and we're gonna play concert.
Excellent. Okay, so how many musicians altogether? I mean, I saw the listing recently, and it looked like almost an orchestra, almost.
Yeah, including...
Least compared to tonight, right?
Yeah.
How many players are you bringing together? Did you just say that?
Yeah, for Saturday we have 14.
14.
But Ghost Ensemble is usually...
Or chamber orchestra.
Yeah.
Great. So that's Saturday night, right?
Saturday night
at 8 p.m. at the Firehouse space. That's in Greenpoint?
East Williamsburg.
East Williamsburg. Depends on what realtor you talk to.
Right.
I guess, so. Well, great. And so what's happening beyond that? So what else is there for the Ghost Ensemble that we might keep in mind?
We have a workshop on Saturday where we're working on new pieces by several composers, which we're very excited about.
A workshop?
A workshop of new works that...
Like a reading workshop kind of thing? Like you're reading new pieces? That kind
of thing? It's not public.
Uh-huh.
But we're going to start to work on new pieces that will premiere in the fall.
I see. Great.
So we will definitely be returning.
Also here in New York.
In the fall, yes, that's right.
I see. Great. So that's sometime in the fall. Like, do you have a ballpark date month?
Ballpark month is October.
October. Okay. So October, Ghost Ensemble world premieres of new works. So this is the workshop you're doing. This also at Firehouse or somewhere else? Or?
Well, we're doing the workshop at Columbia where we were rehearsing.
Great. Well, good. Any other thoughts? I think that's all that I've got here. Anybody else?
Let's play.
Yeah. All right. So we'll go on to the program. Thanks. Thank you for speaking with me. Thank you for joining us here. And
that was my conversation with members of Ghost Ensemble on Thursday, April 14th. The evening continued with performances of works by Pauline Oliveros, Klaus Lang, Lucia Vitkova, and Mark Sabat. Let's listen first to Pebbles by Pauline Oliveros, performed live by Ghost Ensemble at the Old Stone House in Park Slope, Brooklyn. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that was Pebbles by Pauline Oliveros, performed live by Ghost Ensemble. We'll conclude tonight's program with an excerpt of Marc Sabat's Giuseppe Zarlino for two accordions, cello, contrabass, and piano, performed live at the Old Stone House in Park Slope, Brooklyn. Thank you. You've been listening to the Musical Ecologies Radio Hour. For more information, visit our website at musicalecologies.net.